Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
Alrighty, welcome all to a late edition of the Chase Thomas podcast here on a Monday night from Knoxville, Tennessee. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I'm joined, as I am every single Monday night, to talk all things NFL. It's Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
Monday. Hi, I'm good. What's going on? I'm doing so well.
Are you? I feel like you're in that situation where you're like, if I just tell myself I'm doing well, then it's actually how I'm doing. Because we all know who follow you on Twitter and Instagram, and you and I on Instagram and everything like that, that you had yourself a weekend. I'm surprised you tweeted through it, to be completely honest.
You know, I did have myself. So I had, realistically, I've had myself 3 weekends. So as we all know, because you guys all follow my social life so deeply. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody cares. But you know, I was 3 weeks ago. I was in San Francisco for the NFL draft, and you know, we didn't get hammered by any means, but we definitely drank all night. And then last weekend, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, with some of my friends because I used to live out there, and I drank a lot more than I'm used to. And then this weekend, my best friends were in town for one of my best friend's birthdays. And that was aggressive, and that was the most aggressive out of all 3 trips. So it was like this little like roller coaster, you know, it's like tick, 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 climb, climb, tick, 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 tick. And it just never stopped raising until Sunday. And yeah, man, I don't know, pretty exhausted.
What was more difficult, getting up Saturday or Sunday?
That's a good question. I think getting up Saturday was pretty crazy because I was in West Hollywood and I live in Santa Monica, and that's like a 30-minute drive. So I got up, and then I had to go home, grab clothes, grab the stuff to change, and grab a couple other things. And I think, you know, I bought like Pedialyte and White Claw. And then we came over and like immediately like went to brunch and started drinking, taking shots right away. Cause my buddy whose birthday it is an actual psychopath. Like people like think I drink a lot, but realistically speaking, unless it's a social event, I don't drink. I don't drink by myself. I don't drink during the week. You know, unless I'm in a social situation that garners drinking, I myself don't drink. But my buddy's a psychopath and he loves taking shots and he loves buying hundreds of shots and rounds and going crazy and all these things. So like he really is, I think, maybe how people view me through social media. Mm-hmm. And we like got to brunch and immediately we started taking shots at like 11 in the morning and came back and we ended up doing have you ever gotten like an IV before?
I have not. I have friends that have done it. I'm not a needle guy, so that's probably not in the cards for me.
Well, nobody's a needle guy. Okay. No one, not even heroin addicts are needle guys. But yeah, so my friends are doctors and they can just buy IV bags and they're legally allowed to give people IVs. So, we all came back to the house and we were like hanging IVs up from like the blinds and shit.
So how does that work? Like how long did it take? Did it actually help? Like what was the experience like for you?
Yeah, so the IV is like a liquid IV. It's like sodium something. It's like, you know, it's like imagine Pedialyte on steroids. So you fully hydrate your body, puts like a bunch of supplements or whatever it is in your body. It does a pretty good job. I mean, you know, like I probably wouldn't have existed nearly as well as I did Saturday had it not been for that IV. But yeah, then we went out that night and yeah, man, I'm tired. I'm not going to be drinking at all this weekend. I am hopefully not drinking for probably till Memorial Day, which is what that's in a couple weeks.
Like, do you think this is something that you're going to regret when we come back on this podcast Monday that you presume that you would go 14 days without any more White Claws? Do you think that's going to be ill-fated?
I don't think so, because I mean, I once took 100 days off from drinking just because I was bored of it. And I was like, I'm going to, just not drink for 100 days because that's a good round number. I don't have any problem whatsoever not drinking. Like, genuinely, I can, like, just go on. Like, you know, as long as I've got the gym and I'm focused at work and stuff like that, I don't really need to. Yeah. But now, if my friends were like, yo, like, here's this thing that we're going to do that's fun, I'm not going to say no. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe others would. I don't know. I'm not.
How much of the Tennessee-Arkansas college baseball series did you catch this weekend?
Well, you know, really. So, like, it was obviously my friend's birthday, but I told him, I was like, hey, I know it's your birthday, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, we're going to need to watch the Tennessee-Arkansas game. Yeah. And he was like, game or games? I was like, no, game, series. It's a series, and multiple of them. So we got the girls, right? Mm-hmm. Got the guys, got everybody together, got some, you know, some popcorn and mm-hmm. some Ruffles, you know, with mm-hmm. the sour cream and onion dip. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great. How about you? How did you like the Tennessee Arkansas series?
I mean, we pretty lost interesting, the series huh? 2-3. We lost the series.
Yep. Tough. Yeah, we were all pretty sad.
I figured, but Saturday was delightful. I don't know if you saw my like full dance from Saturday afternoon where
I can't stress it enough. I know we talk about football and we talk mm-hmm. about sports, but can we just talk about how absolutely adorable you and your lady are? Like, genuinely a very attractive, very sweet, very photogenic couple.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
It's something to be proud of.
She's a delight. I love her very much, and I enjoy spending time with her very much. That's all you're looking for, right? Like, someone who you can hang out with and get through life with. And
well, that's normally what mm-hmm. people is. But for you, it's someone that you can fit in between your 500 podcasts. Yeah, it's right. kind of the big thing.
Yeah, you know, right. It's funny because, like, when I put out the weekly recap of, like, the pods and stuff, sometimes, like, friend of the pod, Craig Powers of Coug Center, a very good Washington State Cougars blog that everybody should check out, put it out, like, out there. It was just like, this guy hustles. And I think it's just one of those things where I like it, though. I like the fact that I am really busy and I do a lot of different stuff and I grind hard and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't really look at it as work, though. I look at it as just like, this is a fun thing and this has always been my dream. And it also can be tough to find the right person who can understand just the limitations of my time. And I'm sure with you getting promoted, like, your time is going to be more limited as you rise up and become the king of Santa Monica, Evan Swords. So I think it's just it's interesting when you get older and how you prioritize your time. And we all have the same amount of time, and that is something that I was always like a pet peeve of mine growing up. It's like, people are like, oh yeah, I don't know if I have time. It's like, well, no, you have time, you just are prioritizing it differently than me. So when people say, like, I can't do that, or they make excuses about not doing certain things and going after their stuff, they're like, I just don't have time because of this, this, and this. And it's like, well, no, you're just not using your time the best way you possibly can. You can, you just have to make a concerted effort. And I mean, you do that with the gym, I do that with the running and everything else, where it's just, man, you know what the key is? I'm going to give you the key and we'll get into some NFL stuff. And I don't know if you're like this, but it's just write stuff down. Like, I write so much down. I write down all my notes. I write down all my daily calendars. I write down all of my pods for the week. I write down all my stuff. It's just so much easier when you look at it day by day and you don't think month by month or year by year. You topple all of it. Like, the daily writing stuff down is just, that's the game changer. It makes it easier for me.
Yeah. It's important to stay organized. And you know how I know it's important to stay organized? Mm-hmm. Because you write down your podcast playthrough. So let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Brian Flores. I don't know if you've heard of him. Head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Evan Swords.
Really good with flowers. It's a bad joke. Don't laugh at that. That's a bad joke.
Tua knows where he needs to improve, is what he said this past week about his starting quarterback. You know what? That reminded me of the reason I bring this up on this podcast is I wonder if you had the same upbringing where, like, there was something my dad would say, my teachers growing up would say, like, Chase knows where he needs to improve. that's not something you say when you're pleased with your student. When a teacher pulls a parent aside at a parent-teacher conference and it's like, well, Chase knows where he needs to improve. That means they're not happy every single time. They know where they need to improve. That's more of like a, I'm not happy, but they also know how to fix this problem to remedy the situation. We're just going to have to see if that happens. I am so fascinated by this situation in Miami because they obviously did not take a quarterback where they could have taken Justin Fields. And they're banking a lot on this rebuild that Chris Greer, I think, has just done a great, great job putting together this roster. And I mean, just what he got for Tunsil alone. But like, when you look at this group, I'm like, man, I like so much about what they've done. But Tua might be a bottom four quarterback in the NFL. And if that's the case, all of this is for naught, and not taking a quarterback there when they could have. It's just one of those we're not talking about all that much yet, but like the fact that we just get the Tua knows where he needs to improve, the fact that he got inserted weirdly into the season, it was like, oh no, this is a huge drop off, and whether or not his health will ever be where it needs to be, and then their rumored interest in Deshaun Watson before everything ended there, like, I don't know. Are you not just incredibly fascinated by what happens in Miami and like that relationship between Flores and Tua?
Well, first and foremost, when I heard Tua knows where he needs to improve, to me, that's a threat. I'm not hearing that as anything other than a threat. Like, Tua knows what the fuck he needs to do. And if he doesn't do it, we're going to fucking get Ryan Fitzpatrick to come out here, start throwing the ball again. He doesn't even play for us anymore. He'll still do it. Like, I don't know, man. I got to say, those who did not take Justin Fields teams, the Jets, the 49ers, obviously the Dolphins, these are teams I'm going to be paying attention to a lot, you know, especially because I'm going to be paying attention to the Bears a lot this year. Cause they say that Justin Fields isn't going to start right away. And then what was it? Andy Dalton's the starter, but, yeah, we'll see. But yeah, man, I'm telling you, like, if they come out, and I think they're building a good team. You know, you were big on them last year. I think they're building a good team. If they come out and do the whole Chicago Bears thing, you know, where they've got a great defense, great offensive weapons, you know, good, not great, and Tua just can't do it. He still has struggles in the same way that he did before. Dude, it's going to be a bad look. It's going to be a really bad look.
It's going to kind of remind me of Jared Goff last year with Los Angeles, where you're like, oh, this is it. You don't get many bites of the apple. Like, they were in a really good spot to take a quarterback there that could have been a real difference maker. And I think you and I are on the same page with Fields that, like, I just think his upside was so much more. But then you look at it and you're like, well, if Tua is still top, if he can get that top 15, 14 level, I mean, Devontae Parker, Jalen Waddle, and Will Fuller all make sense. Like, Jalen Waddle in the slot, like, I love Mike Gesicki, and we both love their defense, but like Devontae Parker is like the third option, makes a lot more sense, and he's getting a lot more help there. I mean, I'm high on Miami, but like this division is going to be sneaky tough. I think Jets will be better. The Bills are the favorite. They're not going anywhere, and Josh Allen's emergence is only going to make the pressure even more difficult for Tua. And then you got Mac Jones coming in the division with Cam. Like, the Patriots just spent an ass load of money to
isn't it funny?
Roster. Yeah.
Isn't it funny how Tom Brady finally leaves and then it's not just the Patriots anymore? The entire division kind of rises to the top. Like,
yeah.
It's interesting, man. I got to say, it really is. You got to look at what the Jets did this offseason, and they really, you know, I mean, they've got the blueprint, right? They've got the quarterback that they want. They've got Kyle Shanahan's offense. They've got Kyle Shanahan's defensive coordinator as the head coach now. I think the Jets are going to be very surprisingly good this year. And obviously the Bills are just a behemoth right now. So it's going to be an interesting division for sure.
Speaking of interesting divisions and interesting developments, Kelvin Benjamin, old friend Kelvin Benjamin. Do you remember all the weight stuff that he had to deal with? just when he came into camp and just the pictures, it was incredible. It was like James Harden before James Harden of the NFL. And
first and foremost, before we even go even an inch further, we must recognize the funniest tweet. Literally, not, and once again, it's a podcast. There's no way I will be able to recreate the same excitement. Mm-hmm. But Trevor Sikkema, who I've mentioned before, friend of the pod, the Draft Network, when the photo came out of him walking out the Panthers camp, obviously incredibly overweight, Trevor is one of the smartest and funniest people I've ever met in my entire life. His brain is just like it's a 1,000 horsepower machine. It's just insane. But in captions, whoa, fat Kelvin, bam a lamb. Whoa, fat Kelvin, bam a lamb. Was like eating tons of ham, bam a lamb, catching passes from Cam, bam a lamb. like the funniest tweet that I've ever seen. And that fat Kelvin, bam a lamb, is the new giant. Inside in.
Is this just the weirdest summer for like tight ends? Like Kelvin Benjamin, just like screw it, I'm gonna try tight end. Tim Tebow, screw it, I'm gonna try tight end. What is this? Is it because that like the tight end position has just evolved so much in recent years that like hey, maybe I can do it because it doesn't actually mean I have to block or do anything. It just means I can be a goal line red zone threat, right?
Right. Yeah. What's funny though, at the same time though, is like the tight end position, the eliteness of that position is at kind of the best it's ever been, right? When you look at Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, and then obviously the best tight end in the NFL, George Kittle, right? And you see this is like kind of the golden age of the true tight end, right? That can block and catch passes. Yet on the other side of the spectrum, you've got these just Tim Tebow, who's never played the position, Kelvin Benjamin, who literally ate himself into the position. Like, it's a weird time. I don't think you couldn't have said it better. It's a weird time.
It is. I'm excited to see how that works. The Giants are just such a weird team. I can see their season going completely two different ways, two diverging ways. And I don't have a good read on the Giants yet. I'm excited to get our perspective when we get into the summer and we can do our season previews and stuff, because I think the NFC is just going to be really, really hard to forecast. The Chiefs stay active. They nab Mike Hughes, corner from Minnesota. He had an up and down career thus far in the NFL, especially in Minnesota. But what do you make of the Chiefs adding another corner, staying busy this offseason?
Well, I don't have any specific thought on the corner itself, Mike Hughes, outside of just the Chiefs have been doing this right for the last 3 years. They are picking and kind of grabbing whatever, you know, forgotten talent. And I think the 49ers kind of do this too, right? These are teams that are immense talents. They have great rosters, great coaches, and they go, we can probably make them better than they were before. You know, we'll talk about it in a little bit, I'm sure, with Marquise Lee. And I think it's kind of a similar concept, right? They're like, if we take, you know, a player that got cut who was on, say, a not so good team with did not have a good roster, didn't have good coaching, and they struggled a little bit, they're like, we could probably get more out of this player than they could. You know, you look at Sammy Watkins when he was in Kansas City. Right. You look at the offensive linemen that they've signed and the players that kind of want to go there, Le'Veon Bell. And I think that's just kind of their way of approach, right? Like, we can do more with this player than you did.
What would you guess his passer rating allowed when targeted this past year in Minnesota?
I mean, Minnesota's defense wasn't that bad. So, I mean, maybe like 75?
120.3.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
He was awful last year. If you go back through his numbers, like every year thus far since getting drafted in 2018 out of UCF, not great, which concerns me as someone who is a fan of a team that just took a UCF DB themselves. So a little concerned in Richie Grant, who we'll get into in a second because of projected starting lineups that PFF, friend of the pod, did did this week. So I'm excited about that. I love depth charts. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm a huge depth chart nerd. And the amount of time in the last few years that I've spent just memorizing things on rlads.com is just very, very dorky. The Broncos made history hiring Klein to a football ops position. Just, this was a really kind of out of nowhere thing, but it's pretty awesome for the NFL, right?
I think so. The Broncos, you know, first and foremost, the Broncos are obviously the team that kind of gifted the 49ers Adam Peters, who was rumored to potentially return to some kind of a more GM-specific role with the Broncos this year, and he ended up staying with the 49ers. I don't know if this is kind of their approach of filling the hole that they maybe thought he might take, but I think it's a great thing. And, you know, how do I say this? It feels like the Broncos are building a good executive team in spite of John Elway.
It just feels like John Elway is getting promoted to fake roles. Like, I love the way, I don't know if you're like this in your professional life, but it always cracked me up as someone who is an outsider and is not involved in any of that kind of stuff. But like when my dad, just being a longtime business guy, like he would tell me about his positions and things like that. I'm like, they just make these up. And Kelly Klein, we should say, is going to be the executive director of football ops, but also special advisor to general manager George Patton. They just add these titles. It's a really long title. You can't put that on a business card. That's a full title. We just add all of these things. And this is across all sports. I love that we're expanding roles and we're just making them more convoluted and complicated to explain. Could you imagine explaining that if you're Kelly?
Well, you're like, yeah, they just say I'm a Broncos executive. I'm
I guess that's all you do. The Broncos.
Like, say, yeah, really, yeah, at the end of the day.
Broncos. I don't know. That's just, it's odd to me. And special advisor, what makes it a special advisor? How many special advisors are there? I don't understand.
Or imagine if you're an advisor and then he comes in and either they come in and they're a special advisor.
Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? I don't. And then they're like, why is this person special and this person's not? I don't know. What is the more, like, what's the most egregious business title that you've come across? Like, where you saw it and you're like, I don't even know what that means. I have no idea what that means.
I mean, I just shout out to The Office, but it's got to be the assistant branch manager, you know, the assistant to them, you know. I mean, good for them, though. It is what it is. At this point, nowadays, it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah, and I also just think it's one of those where it's just good. We just have to keep having these happen. Like, Kim Ng-jee, who is now running the Miami Marlins, who just waited a really long time for her shot, and things are going well there. They, I think, still, as of this recording, the Marlins have the best run differential in baseball. It's just, they're... I mean, we should just move past this, and this is awesome to see that Kelly's getting an opportunity here. We'll see this across more and more sports, and I'm glad it's just permeated, not just in basketball, not just in baseball, that every sport is getting on board with the idea that, like, hey, guess what? Women are just as awesome at evaluating and building rosters, and it should not just be a strictly male-dominated profession, and it's just good to see, and I'm glad that this is becoming more and more the norm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It really, truly is a great thing to see.
Speaking of great things to see, you wanted to do an emergency podcast on Marquise Lee, who has wound up in San Francisco. Explain yourself, sir.
I wouldn't say I wanted to do an emergency podcast, just as much as I thought it was hilarious that they signed Marquise Lee. And right, you know, not too long after, you had texted me like, hey, are we still on tonight? Which is hilarious because we're always still on.
Well, I'm going to do that every week.
I know. I kind of like it. It's kind of nice. You know, it's nice to feel wanted.
I'm never doing it again.
But I feel like this is the perfect signing for me because I'm an eternal optimist that always like overtly excites out of things that really aren't as big of a deal as they are. But I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh yeah, just kind of exactly what we talked about, right? I'm like, oh, you know, the Jaguars had Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson was injured and they didn't have anybody else. And he had a pretty good year, not to mention that he also had some injuries and things like that. Personally speaking, though, I think he's a great addition to the team. I think he has kind of that, you know, he has a skill set. I think he has a potential, you know, he did really well as a kind of shoe-in wide receiver too on a bad team with a bad quarterback. And I think, you know, a team that's not going to expect much from him, that already has George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel.
We're going to leave out the starting slot legend, Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, there's no way Sanu doesn't make the team. He'll be doing.
Well, you're going to love PFF's projected depth chart that we're going to.
I don't care. He's going to have the Jordan Matthews role where he'll go through camp. He'll get cut at camp, and then if they need to bring him in, they will.
Well, if there's one thing you should be excited about, it's that the track record for USC wide receivers panning out in the NFL is very strong, Evan.
It is true, man.
I can't imagine one. Like, can you imagine if Kerry Colbert, Mike Williams, Steve Smith, not the main Steve Smith, Dwayne Jarrett. I'm remembering some guys. Am I forgetting any other big ones that did not pan out I guess Robert Woods panned out pretty nicely. He's been pretty solid. Is he the best one out of USC?
I mean, Marquise Lee did pretty well in Jacksonville. He got a couple of seasons where he was injured, but when he was healthy, he played well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do the win total prediction, because Cynthia Freeland did a really good piece for NFL.com, and I love going through this and NFL projections, and we'll be doing, as we get closer to the regular season, our own over-unders and things like that to get excited for the season. But like, when you examine her simulation, which that's why you'll see like a 12.2. When you run this, I think she ran it 50,000 times. The projected 53-man rosters to simulate all 272 regular season games 50,000 times. This is for the NFC. Do you agree, or are you intrigued by this? Like, who stands out? Who doesn't? Were there some surprises here? I think this looks really, really accurate. What do you think?
I mean, but there is another path. Give me one sec. Let me pull it up. There we are. So I wanted to like play this at the same time. And it's like aggressively playing the video into my speaker.
Yeah.
There we are. Shout out to the NFL Network for literally auto-playing their dumbass videos. So first and foremost, like you said, this is obviously the NFC. On one end, I want to aggressively say it's ridiculous to think that Tom Brady is going to keep, but then we get to the point where it's like, it's fucking Tom Brady. Like, I want Tom Brady's reign to end. It's insane to think that he'll at 44? Is it 44?
He'll be 43, I think.
Years old. Will win 12.2 games. Like, that's just absurd. The Green Bay Packers, I just don't know if the Packers can win that many games with all of what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. I think he kind of had his fuck you tour last year, and he's kind of made it apparent that he doesn't want to play for the team anymore. We'll see what happens, but I could see that being a lot less, if you will. The Niners thing makes sense to me, really genuinely does. I think that Jimmy is going to play this season. I don't think they played Lance right away. They could. Jimmy's obviously had his injuries, but I think the 49ers roster this year is better than it has been ever with Kyle Shanahan, including their Super Bowl run, which is not even that big of a take considering the amount of never-ending injuries they had that season and the rotations that they had to do with their offensive line and corners. I think the 49ers might honestly have the best roster in the NFL. I could definitely see the argument being made for the Bucs, because they just won the Super Bowl and they brought everybody back. I can see the argument being for the 49ers, and not just because I'm a homer. We'll have to see what Nick Bosa can do with his knee. If Nick Bosa comes back 100%, then yeah, I think we're good. The Cardinals, I don't know about that one. That one stuck out to me. Yeah, man. Like, the Cardinals, 9.2 games. Kyler's great, but you know, a lot of the issues that the Cardinals had last year had nothing to do with their offensive weapons. And that's kind of what they did this year, right?
I mean, Hopkins, Kirk, AJ looked pretty cooked last year.
Yeah, AJ's done. AJ's completely done.
I'm still very excited about Rondale in this offense. I'm just not sure about Cliff Kingsbury, the coach. I have some questions about the defense going into this year, but I don't know. I think the Cardinals, the problem that they're going to run into is that, let me check my notes here. Seattle and Russell Wilson and Matt Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams are still in this division as well. And Aaron Donald, too. Put some respect on Aaron Donald's name. But, like, you look at this and you see 8.8 for LA Rams and 8.6 for the Seahawks. And I'm just like, there's no way. Like, you're getting three or four teams with over 8-9 wins in this division. That's just too much. So if I'm, like, looking at this now, I'm like, I don't know. Like, what does Russell Wilson have to do every year before you're like, okay, yeah, just pencil in 10 wins. Like, what are we doing with this? Like, his record and just the Seahawks, and I know this pains you, but just, like, the idea that if Russell Wilson is not, like, if he is under center for 17 games for the Seahawks this year, that, like, nah, this dude's not going 8-9 this year. That's not happening. Wilson's just too good for that to be the case.
I mean, yeah. First and foremost, the Rams were winning more than 8 games with Jared Goff. Matt Stafford's a significantly better quarterback and a bigger upgrade for them. So I just don't see the 8.8. I don't understand that myself. The Rams are going to be a problem this year. Seahawks.
So you're higher on the Rams right now than the Seahawks.
Oh yeah, I am. Okay. I personally see the Seahawks as the third best team in the NFC West.
Hmm.
I've got the Cardinals as the last team. You have a good.
If that's the case.
You have a good point though, man. Like, Russell Wilson, if he's in the game, they're always going to be in the game. And I know that's a corny thing to say, but it literally is true. But I do see this as the year where the Seahawks could potentially, you know, underperform, underwhelm. And, you know, Russell Wilson kind of already said, hey, I'm out. You guys don't want to listen to me. You're not taking into consideration what I think you should do for the team. This is all documented. And I could see the Seahawks kind of having their Jim Harbaugh year, where, you know, the coach loses the team, the quarterback. I mean, what did the Seahawks do this year with their three draft picks to really excite you?
I mean, they got the guy that they have everywhere. Like, this guy is apparently, by all accounts, just another Tyler Lockett, like those undersized, speedy guys that Russell Wilson loves finding downfield when he's running away from the pocket. So it's the same.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, the Seahawks really didn't have that great of a team overall last year. Mm-hmm. Then they had three first round picks. They had a couple good free agency signings.
I mean,
their secondary
is probably the worst in football. That's what scares me the most about them right now.
They did address their offensive line, which they haven't done in a long time. And I think they did a better job this year than they have probably in the last five of addressing their O-line. But at the end of the day, their biggest defensive end is a safety. You know, their best pass rusher is a safety. So it's like, I don't know. Nothing that they really are doing breeds confidence. To me, I think they've had Russell Wilson, this Hall of Fame, unbeatable human being, and they've just squandered every single year.
Yeah.
And you got to look at what the, I mean, I'm a 49ers.
They sniffed the Super Bowl since what? 20 What is that now? What has it been since
2013?
2013. Man.
But hold on. They not only but like since what? Since they had two Hall of Fame defensive backs, a Hall of Fame linebacker, right? Cam Chancellor, right? Like, they had Brandon Browner. Like, yeah. When you look at what the 49ers did this year, right? They go guard, running back, corner, guard. Two giant guards. They signed Trent Williams, right? Mike Williams, they re-signed his fifth-year option. Great run blocker, terrible pass blocker. But, like, this is a team that goes, we are going to protect our investments and give them weapons. Everything the 49ers have done the last 3 years in a row is building around their quarterback, whether it's Jimmy or now Trey Lance. I can't think of one year the Seahawks have done anything remotely as much of an investment as the 49ers did this year for Trey Lance.
Yeah, I need you to guess one member of their starting secondary right now. Can you do it, Evan?
I mean,
it's so worse than even you would guess.
Yes. So, is it Trey Flowers?
No, he was so bad. He's not a starter. No.
Okay. Well, Shaquem Griffin, is he still there?
No.
Fuck. I do know one. I don't know. I should know this, but
Akello,
you're right.
Akello Witherspoon.
Oh God, no. Okay. No. But I know Akello. I know Akello. But I'm not. Mm-hmm. That's not who we're thinking
about.
DJ
Reed.
Yet. Yeah, the 49ers.
Mm-hmm. And Marquise Blair.
Marquise Blair is who I was thinking of. That's what I was trying to like think in my head.
It's not
in
the boom anymore, I would say.
No, it's not. But at the same time, DJ Reed is a pretty good player. And Akello, in the right situation, might play well. He played a little bit better last year with the 49ers towards the end of the year. He's playing more aggressive. He wasn't getting beat as much.
I don't really like Gale's secondary.
I got to give those guys a shout out.
I should say not secondary. I'm a little concerned about the cornerback situation. You're betting a lot on Jason Verrett. Betting a lot on him.
Betting a lot on him, but I really like this rookie.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, he's from Oregon, so mm-hmm. I'm a little biased. Mm-hmm. I also think that they re-sign Sherman. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think Sherman comes back.
Okay. I mean, I think they need him. They really do need him. I think the Seahawks and the Niners both need him. I hope he goes to one of them. Let's talk about the projected starting lineup. So PFF, awesome friend of the pod, PFF. They did their projected starters as of right now. I was going through this and I was looking at different teams and I'm like, who do I feel better now that I'm just looking at who they see winning summer competitions, like just training camp comps and like where teams are. The Patriots stand out where I'm like, oh, they're actually loaded again everywhere. Like just seeing Matthew Judon like at an edge position now with him and Kyle Van Noy on opposite side, J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, Jonathan Jones, Devin McCourty back there. They get Dante Hightower back, who I think was a big loss for them last year for opting out. And then you look at Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and you're like, oh, I could just see how this was just a mess up year last year and that they could easily get back into the swing of things. And then you look at like other teams across the league and it is so easy to talk yourself into the Chargers. Like Eckler, Herbert, Jared Cook, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, my guy Josh Palmer in the slot, Rashawn Slater sliding in at left tackle. I mean, Brian Beluga at the other side. You look at it, you paid a lot for Corey Lindsey. You got Joey Bosa, Nwosu on the edges. You got Asante Samuel Jr., who's just going to be awesome. You have Chris Harris, Derwin James. Like, you look up and down, and you're like, oh, the Chargers really do stand out. And I don't know. I think this has just been fun to peruse and start getting a read on where teams are. And I don't know. I was surprised at how I felt about a lot of different teams. Who stands out to you? Which roster, or depth chart, rather, stands out a lot to you right now?
Well, I mean, not to be a homer, but the Chargers and 49ers, my two favorite NFL teams. I'm not joking, man. I'm telling you, the 49ers went from, you know, one of the worst teams in the NFL last year, struggling mightily with all the injuries that they had. That second edge position was a very big problem. You know, obviously, what the 49ers had as like, and they're basically rotating players out. They signed just signed anybody and everybody that they could. It was really not you know, not the team you're expecting, right? So, you know, they brought in Jordan Willis, which, you know, he's coming back this year, but Dee Ford kind of struggled. It just wasn't what you expected. But now you have, I mean, like, think about these are like the most like, I'm getting so excited thinking about it, but like genuinely, Mo Hurst, right? Maurice Hurst, Arden Key. These are just third string, second string guys. Mo Hurst played really well for the Raiders last year. You've got Javon Kinlaw in his second year. Nick Bosa's coming back from an ACL injury, right? Samson Mbukam, from the Rams. Dude's going to play really well. Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are like the best linebackers in the NFL at this point, as far as the tandem's concerned. I can understand your corner issues or worry, but I got to say the 49ers, what they did this year is just pretty impressive. So we'll see what happens there. But no, the Chargers, it's definitely, so the Chargers are my number one.
True or false? Know. Sam Darnold will be throwing to a tight end named Dan Arnold this fall.
Sam Darnold, Dan Arnold. True.
That is true. They're going to mess that one up, I think, a couple times on the broadcast.
Yeah, That'll be fun.
Yeah. That will be fun. The Falcons, one of the worst depth charts in football.
It's a tough year, man.
Jalen Mayfield's probably going to start at left guard. Matt Hennessy's going to start at center with Mac being gone. I just look at this group, and if Julio gets traded, which it seems like is going to happen before the season, I'm just like, woof. I don't know. Steven Means and Dante Fowler on the edge. It's dark times for this Atlanta Falcons group. You're all excited about your Niners. I think the worst two is just, I don't see any way the Lions and the Texans aren't the worst teams in their respective conferences when I look at this. Tyrell Williams, Amon St. Brown, and Rashad Perriman are listed as the starters in Detroit. And you know what's weird when I look at this group on both sides of the ball for Detroit is that, like, you love their offensive line with Ragnow, Decker, and Penei Sewell now. And then you're like, what a waste of an all-time great offensive line they're building there. And I'm like, and I could not be less in on their coach, Dan Campbell. Like, I'm all the way out. Like, if I could just sell all my Dan Campbell stock right now, that would be my thing. It's May 18, 2021. But these kind of coaches, they don't seem to ever last. I can't. What did he say? He would give up a limb to make the playoffs or something. Like, what did he say this week?
No, he said he wanted an actual lion on facility, right, in his office.
Just what are you talking
and
about?
He said that, and he was like, and he's like, I'd let the lion eat my arm if I won a Super Bowl ring. That'd be great. What? Yeah, he is quite literally, he is a cartoon version of a football coach.
Yeah.
He's like,
it's not a good look to me.
But I think the Lions are really smart, right? They draft Penei Sewell. They bring in Jared Goff, who they know will be terrible. They get some picks, obviously, for Matt Stafford, and they're rebuilding. You know, Campbell's going to be terrible. They're going to probably hire, I don't know, who do you think they hire? Are they going to hire Josh McDaniels? Who knows? But
it's way too early. I have no idea. You know, maybe they just should never have fired Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, they really shouldn't have.
That guy, I don't understand why he's not a head coach in this league. Like, why is he not just coaching the Texans or something? I don't really understand.
You don't understand?
I mean, Jim Caldwell, man, that dude just wins. Like, that dude is just a winning football coach. Like, I don't understand how he doesn't get the Eagles job, but Nick Sirianni does, and his nonsense and his rock, paper, scissors-ness. I can't do it. I can't handle it. The Texans, though, that roster, woof, going to be awful. Like, that team is going to be terrible. And the saddest QB competition this year is going to be Tyrod Taylor versus David Mills this summer. Just, woof.
Yeah, and that's going to be Oh, man. The Texans are going to be a tough team to watch. I think they might.
I mean, I'm not watching them. Are you planning on watching them this fall? There's no reason to.
That's just honestly, like, I didn't feel bad for them because their owners are trash and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But now, like, after having Deshaun Watson come out to allegedly be a giant psychotic piece of shit, like, I feel bad for those fans, man. That's tough. You get a franchise quarterback and then he tries to leave and then you find out he's, like, evil. It's going to be a rough season for him.
Yeah. It is. Mr. Swartz. Do you have anything you'd like to plug as we wrap up here? Do you want to plug your Twitter account? Do you want more and more people keeping up with your struggle bus situations on the weekend?
I think it's funny. Around? You know, yeah. I gotta say, I've been. Well, you don't need to worry about me. I can't stress it enough. A lot of it's for show, and a lot of it's for fun.
Didn't look like a show when you're passed out at brunch. Didn't look very showy to me.
I wasn't passed out though. I was just laying. So I was. We were at a booth bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was the only one that had this long laying down. I just had like, I had so much room and space while everybody was just in like a chair. And I was just like, well, I got all this space. I'm going to relax while we wait for our food. And I was just chilling. I mean, you saw, I was like just looking at my phone, laying down. See, man, that's what I'm talking about, bro. That's what I'm talking about. It's how you perceive things. It always looks worse than it is.
Yeah, I'm just, you're probably not wrong.
It's yeah. But to the point, right now, obviously, with the off season, there's not as much football going on. So naturally, I'm not really tweeting as much about the 49ers or the NFL as, you know, it's not going on. Tweeting about the Blazers, you can follow me on 2Evan2Furious, a play on words since my first account was banned. The Blazers obviously beat the – yeah, I'm a mess, bro. The Blazers just beat the Nuggets the other night, so they will not be in the play-in. They will be a sixth seed in the playoffs. Go Blazers. Blazers are going to win the championship. Yeah, but you can follow me – too fast or too Evan, too curious.
The Hawks are also back in the playoffs. I'm excited. Hawks, Knicks, round one. The Hawks have not been in the playoffs for a little bit, so I'm excited to see what playoff basketball looks like for this group. A lot of unknowns. When Clint Capella is your most playoff tested veteran, it's going to be an interesting time. So I'm excited to see what actually unfolds there. But I think it's going to be fun. Evan Swartz, always a pleasure, sir.
All right, sir. I will talk to you soon.
Soon. How about next Monday? Even though I'm going to remind you. Or well, not even remind you, ask you Sunday night. Look out for that text.
Just make sure you call me first. And message me first and ask if I'm going to be ready.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. All right, sir. Have a good night.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.